You're listening to the Zipline Logistics Truck Yeah podcast, where we explore all kinds of hot topics in the logistics industry. Get ready to learn, laugh, and get your freight on. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Zipline Logistics podcast. My name is Jesse Jewett. Joined with me, as always, our Director of Training and Development, Teddy Lee Knox. Teddy, how's it going?
It's going good. Excited to talk about some OTIFs, which is one of my favorite subjects. And that's on time in full for those of you that are not our standard listeners.
We got another retailer episode.
We do.
It's a retailer that I'm very familiar with from delivering into it almost daily for the last 12 years plus of my logistics career here at Zipline.
Yeah.
We're talking about Walmart. I assume you're familiar with Walmart?
In multiple ways. Shopping there, delivering there.
Nice. We're going to talk about the requirements. They have some strict requirements for on time and full, some chargebacks, and what you can do to prevent missing those metrics that they've set for you.
Yeah.
So let's just dive into it. On time in full. Correct me if I'm wrong. Was it last January 2024?
Mm-hmm.
Walmart changed its OTIF, on time in full, from 98% adherence to 90%?
That's halfway correct.
Okay.
So on time in full is something that Walmart actually created. So all the other retailers that do this is basically off of Walmart's model. And that's two parts. On time and in full, but used together to actually grade vendors to make sure the vendors are doing what they're supposed to be doing. Both of those cause a really big impact if they're not done correctly. So it's 90% for the on time portion and 95% for the in full metrics is what it changed to in 2024, which is before it's kind of just been 98% across the board.
Right.
I believe with the exception of COVID, they changed it. They brought it down a little bit as well in full, but now they are changing it to be more important to be in full versus on time.
Gotcha. Okay. So that makes sense. So let's get a little inside baseball here. That's a term, inside logistics baseball.
Okay. I was going to say, I don't know anything about baseball.
That's just saying. Okay. But so on time, right? Why would these things be separate? What does that mean? It doesn't make any sense to me.
So on time for Walmart, which another facility inside of Walmart's reach or
a partner,
yes, is Sam's Club.
Yep.
And in on time used to be different for Walmart and for Sam's Club.
Okay.
Sam's Club used to have a window of when you could arrive.
Confusing.
And Walmart's always been a very specific date that you can arrive.
Gotcha.
But as long as it arrives within this window, you're still okay to have things received and inbounded the way that they should be, but you're not on time.
Okay.
So you can still have your product received, inbounded, and then transferred to stores or direct to consumers.
Gotcha.
And the on-time portion allows for that entire network to run smoothly. If
that makes sense.
Are not on time to these depot centers, which are warehouses,
yep,
they can't then be put on outbound trucks and sent to stores, other depot centers, or other warehouses for e-commerce.
Products on the shelf. Got it.
Exactly.
All right. Walk me through the difference for our listeners out there, the difference between on time and in full.
So on time is the time that is a very specific date that the vendor or brand agrees to with their buyer. So whoever is actually buying their product to go to specific stores.
We need PO number 1234 to deliver on February 26th.
Mm-hmm. To the following stores.
Yep.
We want these SKUs, these products.
The following DCs, right?
DCs, yes.
Yep. Okay.
And then those DCs will then go to the specific stores that will be filled.
Yep.
Now, in full is, again, going back to that SKU level data. So what they actually ordered within that purchase order number.
Gotcha.
And the quantities.
All right. So PO 1234, it's due on February 26th. It has 10 pallets of red pepper potato chips. It's got 12 pallets of green pepper potato chips. Mm-hmm. And it's got 4 pallets of just regular old potato chips.
Yep.
And so the in full part, I guess it probably gets down to like the case level even. Did that particular DC receive all of those items, those POs at the case level that I just outlined in full? Or are all of those accounted for?
Absolutely.
So how does a brand prevent that from from slipping through the cracks.
So having a good inventory and having a good network where these products can be found. So if you have one warehouse, you know, it's, everything's in one spot. If you have multiple warehouses, sometimes you're having to do transfers. But a lot of that is that inbound and that availability, and even sometimes in cases like Walmart, that repack of what needs to happen in order to be on the shelves of these stores. I don't know if you've ever dealt with this, of seeing issues that happen in full, and maybe why, or why you think this might be more important than on time or more highly graded than
That's interesting. I think obviously the most important part is, you know, Walmart is a business. They want the products on the shelves that are selling. Mm-hmm. So if they change it to where green pepper potato chips are more important than red pepper potato chips, they might change a PO and expedite something. If you don't have that product ready to go, if it's not, in some cases, obviously it's manufactured here in the United States. In others, it's imported from an outside country. So that's where the logistics steps within the network will apply, that, you know, you got to have everything planned ahead of time to deliver on the expectations that Walmart has. So obviously there's an element too on the trucking side or the logistics side where in full would be damages could play a part of that, or God forbid, like a lost freight if you're dealing with an LTL carrier, or in some cases, you know, bad actor carriers that are maybe partialing a shipment. Obviously, potato chips is a real big target for that, where, again, a bad actor would take it upon themselves to break a seal and throw some potato chips on top of some other product to try and make some more money.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, we're doing everything in our power through vetting and things of that nature to rectify that, but it does happen. So you hit the nail on the head. That's what I wanted to get to, is that, you know, you can be delivering on time to a PO all the, you know, 100%. And then if you don't have the product ready, again, whether it's not manufactured, whether it's not imported correctly, or it's just delayed for whatever reason, then you might be missing that in full metrics.
Yeah. I've always thought it was their way to kind of weed out people that don't have their inventory set up correctly. Like, it's kind of like a sneaky way to be like, if you can't keep up with the forecasting, then your shelf space is going to go down, or you're going to be penalized. So then that way it kind of forces the hand to make changes from the vendor's perspective rather than the buyer asking for information or asking for insight.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a great, another emphasis on alignment across an organizational structure, right? So like if you're a salesperson, and you have the Walmart account, and they're saying, you know what, we need that those green pepper potato chips. You're like, oh, absolutely, we got it, no problem. And then you haven't checked with inventory management, logistics planning, et cetera, to see exactly what you're dealing with, then that's can make and cause unnecessary problems.
Yeah. I also, we're just giving all the thoughts now.
Yeah.
So when you're thinking about inventory, obviously you're not just going to one retailer as a vendor, you're going to multiple.
Correct.
So if you have a problem, less of all evils. Which one is charging the most? Let's let's make sure that we cover them first, and then we'll handle the rest and reallocate as needed to keep priorities in check.
Yeah, you're always gonna have a favorite. That was one of my old basketball coach's line was, you know, I'd like to treat everyone the same, but there's always gonna be a favorite.
We have a lot of sports analogies in this podcast.
Let's keep it rolling. So we're not talking about brushbacks in baseball. We're talking about chargebacks, okay? Tell me about Walmart's chargebacks and fines.
I believe it is 3% of the COGS, also known as the cost of the goods sold. So whatever the cost of that product sold or bought, depending on which side you're looking from, 3% of that is what goes to that fee, whether it is, you know, the 90% on time or 95% in full. Whatever you did not fall on, those charges will come back. And they usually come back quarterly and in a lump sum, not necessarily like by order.
Right. You want to avoid that as much as possible. That bill will come due at the end of the quarter, like you said. And it could be, hopefully it's not, a large chunk of change. But that obviously causes some problems.
And I honestly think it's tough to say, like, avoid it. You can't always avoid these things in supply chain. That's just something that's known. So I feel like if you're hearing people tell you that we can help you avoid this completely, that's a lie, unless they're actually in your warehouse, in your inventory. We have, like, logistics partners really have no control over the info. other than the bad actor piece that you're saying,
right,
that, you know, we help with. But I think otherwise, it's mitigating it. It's finding ways to keep track of it and prepare you for those conversations. So when they come back with charges, you're aware, you can move on and you could focus on the things that are important, like growing the relationships to keep your product on the shelf, not backtracking to figure out what this $3,000 charge was or more.
I think that's one of the best things that we do with Canopy, our proprietary intelligence tool.
Yep.
It houses all of the PODs. It houses on-time delivery information based on what's provided by the customer.
Mm-hmm.
And you can track that. You can track that daily. You can track that weekly. It's a good, you can filter it by retailer. It's really good. It helps make those decisions easier for our customers.
Absolutely.
One last piece. So some folks, I know we've seen it in the past, or certainly I'm talking to potential customers or current customers. Hey, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to make sure that this is CPU. We're going to let Walmart handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Walk me through that, those details.
As to why I think customers do that?
Just a little bit information about CPU.
So CPU, also known as customer pickup, this is when the customer, so basically the buyer, is arranging transportation to pick up from the vendor's warehouse to deliver to the specific depots. And this usually actually sounds like a good idea. We'll handle it all for you. One of the biggest misconceptions here is that it'll arrive on time because the depot or the, you know, retailer is handling it. That's not correct.
Let me guess. Walmart or and or other retailers have favorites too.
Oh, absolutely. They have favorites.
So there you go. There's the prioritization of, you know, who's driving the revenue, who's driving the margin to their shelves. That's who they're going to prioritize on picking up freight.
Absolutely. And I think that it's not necessarily a bad decision. I think that going into these, there are some retailers that make sense to do CPU for specific vendors, but you have to be able to ask the right questions. You have to understand who they'll be using and how they deliver. Walmart's pretty notorious for having a drop yard.
Mm-hmm.
When you drop something, it's considered delivered. Delivered and inbound are different. So you could be dealing with some late fees, even though the trailer was on site well before that OTIF date, that on-time date. So I think that that's really important to understand. And then also being able to understand how your inventory works. So again, if you have multiple warehouses, the CPU is not just going to pick up from wherever the inventory is. They're going to have one set place that they want to pick up from. And they may not be giving you those, you know, 5-day lead times that you were promising other carriers and promising your warehouse, and you may not be able to have that inventory. And then all of a sudden you're seeing that larger charge of the in full happen when it's out of your control.
That's where it comes down to. It's a great buzzword to end on. This portion is control.
Control.
When you allow CPUs to happen, you lose an element of control.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you're not fully in control all the time as a customer.
Yeah.
But working with a logistics provider helps you gain a little bit more control. We can prioritize shipments. We can move quickly. We can, you know, expedite things if we need to. We can help you make correct decisions on which retailers matter the most, which DCs matter the most, which POs matter the most, et cetera, et cetera. You can go all the way down the line.
And I think that's a great point. So when you're giving up that control, you're giving up specific elements, which is the visibility, the communication, and the choice.
Yep.
And that can be really tough.
The good news, Teddy, like we talked about, we deliver into Walmart thousands of times a year.
Mm-hmm.
It's grown into one of our top 5 destinations over the last 12 years here for both of us. I guess you're probably at 13 now here at Zipline Logistics. So I would consider us SMEs, subject matter experts. That's why we're doing this.
Yeah.
That's why we're talking about it. You can check us out on our website, www.ziplinelogistics.com. We have a white paper all about OTIF for Walmart. Please leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple and give us a call at 888-GO-ZIPLINE if you have any other questions. Thank you all again for joining us in another edition of the Zipline Logistics podcast. We'll see you next time.